As much as we would love to reassure our partner that they are good enough, at the end of the day, they're not necessarily going to be able to believe it until they really know it within themselves. So I think our role as partner is we can't really do it for them, but we can certainly support them on that journey. And it takes patience. It isn't necessarily, you know, a quick win. It isn't something that we can do overnight, is sort of build up our relationship with ourselves and suddenly feel great and worthy within ourselves. But I think as a partner, it's about having those open conversations.
Warning, adult content.
The Hookup, love and f***ing on Triple J.
Have you been in a relationship where you think everything's going fine, but then all of a sudden your partner turns around and says they don't think they're good enough for you? I'm Nat Tenchich, and that's what happened to Dan. He got in touch with us looking for some help, and here's what he had to say.
Hi, I've been seeing this girl and everything has been going great since now. All of a sudden, she thinks I'm better than she is. I don't know what happens. She's a great girl, but I keep on having to reassure her all the time how great she is, and it's starting to get draining. She thinks that she's not worthy of my love and says I'm better off without her and she's too much trouble. I don't know what to do to try fix things, but she's really down and it seems like I have no chance. I feel like I've done nothing wrong, but maybe I have. Who knows? Some advice from you guys would help a lot. Thank you.
So here to take us through why we might feel this way and how we can get ourselves out of this situation and maybe get Dan some help is Dr. Alicia Franklin, a psychologist and friend of the show. Hi, Alicia.
Hi, Nat. How are you going?
Good, good. So listening to Daniel's story just there, it's a bit of a rough one. What might you do first up as a partner if you hear that your partner's feeling this way?
Yeah, I mean, I guess initially it'd be pretty upsetting to hear that your partner's feeling that way. And I think initially, particularly Dan said, I think that he has gotten caught in this cycle of really wanting to reassure his partner that she is good enough. I guess the difficulty with that is that you can get caught in this cycle where your partner ends up becoming sort of dependent on your reassurance to feel good. I mean, I think that while that might be where somebody starts, it can be really useful to maybe look a little bit deeper and have a think about where is this self-doubt coming from? Is it a reflection of what's going on in the relationship? Maybe there's things that are happening in the relationship that's making her feel that she isn't good enough, or maybe it's been a bit on again or off again, or maybe he's been emotionally unavailable. So there's potentially things that you can do within the relationship to help her to feel more secure and safe. But potentially there's also the option that she's feeling this way because it's something that she's struggling with herself. And in those instances, I think it's really the partner's role to help her to really build a relationship with herself.
How do you start doing that? Because it does sound like what you just said there, that, you know, feeling like you're not good enough is an indictment on you, you know, and how you feel about yourself, maybe a low self-esteem problem. How do you start tackling that as someone's other half?
You mean, sorry, as in how would Dan support his partner, or how does a partner do it herself?
How would Dan support their partner? We will get into doing it yourself in a moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really difficult thing to do because in a way, as much as we would love to reassure our partner that they are good enough, at the end of the day, they're not necessarily going to be able to believe it until they really know it within themselves. So I think our role as partner is we can't really do it for them, but we can certainly support them on that journey. And it takes patience. It isn't necessarily, you know, a quick win. It isn't something that we can do overnight, is sort of build up our relationship with ourselves and suddenly feel great and worthy within ourselves. But I think as a partner, it's about having those open conversations and to just really be supportive and patient and to help her to get the support that she might need, or the resources. You know, there's a lot of books and podcasts and you know, it might be that she could do with speaking to somebody even to really start that journey. But it isn't necessarily something that we can do for our partners.
Yeah, and it can feel like it's a large kind of weight on you, and you know, it can be a large burden to take on, especially if somebody's talking themselves down constantly and you have to kind of be around that.
Yeah.
How do you look after yourself around all that negativity?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of that is about stepping outside of that cycle of reassurance seeking and giving reassurance, because I think that really can end up building a cycle of negativity where you feel tired because you're always trying so hard to bring your partner up. So I think really opening up the conversation around that cycle can help to kind of step outside of it so that you're helping your partner when they are seeking reassurance, you're actually helping them to get the resources or help that they need rather than coming to you to fill them up. But in terms of taking care of yourself, yeah, I think it's also important to take some time out of the relationship, you know, to go and do things that make you feel full and things that you enjoy so that you're not feeling drained by the relationship, because that can really lead to some pretty sticky stuff longer term.
Mm. It's The Hookup on Triple J. Nat Tenchich is my name, and we are with psychologist Dr. Alicia Franklin. And we're talking about what to do if your partner doesn't feel like they're good enough for you. And we're talking about it because we just heard from Dan, who got in touch with us with his girlfriend not feeling like she's good enough for him. And you're getting involved on the text line. One text here says, she's trying to break up with you, Daniel. Sorry to tell you, mate, she's trying to be nice about it. Do you reckon that's true, Alicia? Is this a way you would go about breaking up with someone?
I don't know enough about the situation, but, I mean, it's not something that people... I mean, yeah, some people might do it that way. I guess some people try to get out of relationships by not being the one to actually end the relationship, but I think it would be a pretty indirect kind of murky way of doing it. I think if she really wanted to break up with him, there's plenty of other more forthright ways of doing it. So, yeah, it wouldn't be my first guess.
Yeah, it's not like the easiest way to let someone down easy, I don't think. Would you see it as a red flag, or should you see that kind of statement as a red flag?
I don't necessarily think it's a red flag as in the person doesn't want to be with you anymore, but I think it's certainly an alert that there might be something going on in the relationship that's really worth discussing and looking at, whether or not that's something that you resolve together or it's something, it's an alarm where you think I really need to provide some support for my partner. But yeah, I think it's a red flag in as much as there's something going on that we need to discuss.
Yeah, another texter has suggested that maybe she's done something to hurt him and now she feels guilty and that's why she doesn't feel good enough. Obviously, we can't speculate, but that kind of, like, would doing something like that, especially the suddenness of this particular situation, would sort of feelings like of guilt make you, like, bring you to this kind of place?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting way of looking at it. I think, yeah, potentially, I don't want to read too much into it, but potentially if somebody has done something that they're not proud of or they're feeling guilty, you can imagine that they may speak to their partner and say, you're better than me, you know, I shouldn't be in this relationship, you shouldn't love me the way that you do. So I think, yeah, it could potentially lead to similar things that she's been saying to Dan.
I've got a comment in here from Amanda on the text line who says, my ex was increasingly insecure to the point where he thought he was so unattractive I couldn't possibly love him and that I was always looking at other guys when we were out. It got so bad that it actually ended up driving a wedge between us, and it was the major reason we broke up. It did stem from a history of him being cheated on, but there's just no way he can accept love until he learns to love himself. Mm. And it's not, like you were saying, it's not really a partner's responsibility to teach you how to love yourself, but I suppose they can help in one way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that our responsibility as partners is to be consistent, to provide safety and security in the relationship, and to support our partners regardless of what they're going through. But it isn't our responsibility to fix our partner.
As Amanda was saying, like, jealousy and insecurity are a couple of the ways that, you know, low self-esteem can impact a relationship and cause friction. What are a few other effects that can have on a partnership?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there can be a lot of potential jealousy if people don't feel that they're good enough for their partner. It can also be that if we don't think that we're good enough, we can end up sort of pushing our partners away because we sort of feel too scared to let them in. In some instances, it can lead to, if we don't feel that we're getting enough of that reassurance within the relationship, we can end up looking elsewhere for attention and validation, which can be really harmful. It could lead potentially to, to us looking for attention from other people. And also testing the relationship, it can lead to us, really pushing our partners to see, well, how much do you love me? Am I really good enough? And it can lead to sort of unnecessary fights and unnecessary tension. So, yeah, I guess if it's left unchecked, it really can be pretty harmful to the relationship.
Mm. What if you're the one who doesn't feel like they're good enough for your partner? What can you do? Well, Dr. Alicia, I'll throw it to you. If you're not the one feeling worthy, first of all, how do you get to that place?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a couple of ways that you can get to that place. It might be that you come into the relationship already sort of doubting yourself or not feeling great about yourself, and that may be because of previous experiences in relationships, or maybe you grew up in an environment where you didn't necessarily feel valued. So it might be something that you're already carrying in you. Alternatively, it could be something that comes out in the relationship. So you might start out a relationship feeling great about yourself, and then in a relationship, depending on what dynamics are going on, we can end up sort of doubting ourselves or feeling less worthy, I guess, if we're in a relationship, where there's emotional abuse or where we feel undervalued or unappreciated or unseen. So, yeah, it can be something that we bring into a relationship, but it also can certainly be something that that happens as a result of a relationship.
But if it's happening as a result of the relationship, I guess, how can you identify that and work past it or hit those feelings, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really worth looking at what the patterns are in the relationship. If your partner is there for you consistently, shows up for you, is loving and kind, and you're still doubting yourself, then it's probably a good indication that maybe there's something going on for you. But if you look at the relationship and, maybe your partner isn't there for you when you need them, or maybe they put you down in front of other people, if there's those sorts of patterns, then it might be a good indication that your feelings of not being good enough are stemming from what's going on in the relationship. And in those instances, it's something that you really need to work on together as a couple.
Mm. Scotty from Shepparton, you always thought you weren't good enough for your partner. Do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, I've just recently come out of a 14-year relationship and I've always never kind of felt like it was good for about the first 5 years, but then after that it felt like I kept having to meet this like bar or standard, which was quite difficult to reach all the time because the bar kept moving up and up and up. That's how it felt to me. And then getting quite negative about myself because of those situations, like, being told, you're not going to wear that out in public, are you? You're not going out like that. And also in social situations, like, if you have to be so upfront with people and just always been so critical.
Mm.
And then that plays on your mind as well after especially a lot of years, and you start to doubt yourself whether that, can I actually be this person wants or seems to portray that they want,
Mm.
And, it ended up wearing us down to the end, to the point where, I think my negativity from not feeling good about myself due to not feeling that I could meet that standard or be good enough or basically content, I suppose is the best word. Like, if you can both be content, you're both satisfied, There is none of that nitpicking, but, and we split up quite admirably and all that, But it got to the point where it had worn her down, And I'd also got worn down to the point where I'm never going to reach this. I'm not going to ever get there, And it's a person I love very much.
That's so rough, Scotty.
Yeah.
But I know that feeling of not hitting that bar, that's what it feels like most of the time. That, there's this level set that you've got to reach before you reach their satisfaction to the point where they're going to actually give you compliments and not so much criticism all the time.
Yeah, and I guess that's that sort of sense of love being almost conditional, like you need it to be something other than who you were to be enough.
That's what I meant by being content. Like, where you're both in a happy place and happy with each other as who they are. Mm. But it seemed like the more that they got to know me over the years and the more I let them in on me, myself, the harder it bloody got. Like, yeah. And now coming out of that situation, I'm really, 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 my anxiety is just so bad towards getting in that situation ever again. Like, it's...
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I think it's wonderful that, I mean, first of all, I think it's incredible that, you know, you were able to sort of sustain that for 14 years, but I think it's great that you have the amount of perspective and self-awareness that you can see those patterns. So it sounds like you're in a good position to maybe look at that and work through that so that you, so that it doesn't affect you in your next relationship.
The only problem is that mindset can also be like a double-edged sword. Because I'll end up towards the end there more analysing and trying to work out what I'm doing wrong and what do I need to do right and what haven't I. You know, you end up analysing the situation that hard and that fierce that that becomes another mind wreck as well. So it's like extra luggage on top of it on what you've already got with the low self-esteem and not hitting that standard with the person. And the person that you love so much, like, that's why you invest in.
Yeah.
Something like that, you know, like,
and it can leave
she was
so
probably
vulnerable.
Thinking that I could get to that point as well, and I was probably hoping I could get to that point too, and we'd be all happy Larrys, but such is life. But yeah, I got four beautiful kids out of it, and everything's still good between us as people, and yeah, I can't complain in that respect because I get to see my boys all the time, so.
Beautiful.
It's just been adults, to be honest, not say childish or faith or selfish, but yeah, just really strung a note tonight when I was listening to yous earlier, and oh man, that is just so similar to what I've just gone through. Like,
yeah,
it's a good help having people on that, you know, speak about it like that, and it helps a lot of other people too. So I appreciate your show.
Thanks so much for the call, Scotty, and I hope the rest of the show can help you out too.
No, no worries. Take care.
Cheers, thanks.
See ya.
If Scotty's story brought up anything for you, by the way, Lifeline is always there, 13 11 14. Got a few comments coming in on the text line as well for you, Alicia. One says here, I was left not feeling good enough for my partner after a week spent with him and his friends in Croatia. My partner's friends have very different interests, and although I felt like I tried to get along with them, it ended up with me breaking down after a huge argument with my partner. After his constant reassurance, support, and choosing to no longer speak with one of his friends in particular, I'm still picking up the pieces and finding my confidence that I'm worth it. It can really, really mess with you and break down your own confidence. And I hadn't really thought so much about the role that the partner can play in damaging your own self-esteem. It's a position of abuse, really. What can you do in these kinds of situations?
Yeah, I mean, I think that example's interesting because it's sort of an extra layer. It's not necessarily the partner, it's the partner's friends. And I mean, this can also happen in families as well, you know, where there's differences or different expectations or standards that people feel that they can't live up to. And I think sometimes we can perceive differences as maybe us not being good enough rather than there being an incompatibility or a difference. And I don't necessarily mean in the relationship, but in that example, she may have had differences to his friends, and rather than feeling like, oh, we're just different, we can sometimes perceive that as, oh, I'm not good enough, and it can end up affecting our self-esteem. So I think that distinction is important. Sometimes it's just that we are different rather than we're not good enough.
Yeah, and I think, like, further to Scotty's stories as well, like your expectations of someone, like what role can society play in this sort of situation where maybe being coming from different class backgrounds or cultures or having different success levels in your careers or levels of popularity, like how can these things kind of contribute to that feeling of not being good enough?
Yeah, hugely, I think, actually, because I think we live in a society where we're sort of taught from a young age that our value is tied to to all of these outcomes. So, you know, how much we earn, what job we have, what car we drive, how we look, what partner we're with, you know, how much money our family has. And so it sets up all of these contingencies where we feel like we need to be all of these things to feel good about ourselves. And, you know, you see that on social media, a lot of people comparing themselves to each other based on face value. And I think it really undermines people's sense of the fact that really we're born with value. For instance, you know, if a little baby child is born into the world, they're not valuable because of anything they've done or achieved. They're valuable just because they're a human being. They're of worth. And I think that in society these days, it's really easy to forget that.
Mm, absolutely. Another question for you. Aaron asks, how do you recommend working on self-worth so that you can offer your best self to someone?
Such a good question. I was hoping someone was going to ask that. Look, I think this is an important question for everybody, because I think our relationship with ourselves is so key. There's many different ways that you can start, but I think spending time on yourself, spending time with yourself, getting to know yourself, and really learning to treat yourself with the same love, kindness, and acceptance that you would treat somebody else that you love. So whatever that looks like, you know, whether it is standing up for yourself or being kind to yourself or giving yourself the reassurance you need, often it's celebrating your successes. And, you know, I have a friend, for instance, the other night, she's going through, she's sort of exploring this topic herself in her own life, and I messaged her and said, do you want to go out for dinner? And she said, I'm actually taking my best friend out for a movie. And I thought, well, which best friend? Because I'm your best friend. And she actually, and she was referring to herself because, you know, she was sort of doing exactly what we hope people will do when they are looking after themselves, which is treating herself with the respect and love that she would like to be treated with by somebody else. So, you know, there's plenty of resources. There's lots of stuff online about self-compassion. There's books. If you want to go to Kristen Neff's self-compassion website, it's a great place to start. But there's a lot of stuff out there about how to really build up a positive, loving relationship with yourself.
Is that tricky to do sometimes? Because I know, like us as Aussies, we tend to have a bit of a self-deprecating culture. Like, we do kind of try to deflate people who are like a little bit too good for themselves, or, you know, people who are a bit too big for their boots. Tall poppy syndrome is such a problem. Like, is it hard to sort of love yourself when you're surrounded by people who might take you down for doing so?
Yeah, I guess there's a fear that if you come across as being too, and I guess what I'm talking about when I mean having a loving relationship with yourself is being your own best mate. You know, so it doesn't necessarily mean running around being a cheerleader and being a kind of Pollyanna and, you know, shouting your praises to the rooftops, although that's wonderful too. But, you know, I mean, even in it doesn't necessarily need to be as overt as that. I think it can be in the quieter moments, you know, the way that you, the quality of the time that you spend with yourself. There's many ways that we can look after ourselves and look after our own needs that won't necessarily draw the attention of the haters.
Just really quickly, a couple of those ways?
A couple of those ways. I think, okay, one of the simplest ways would be, you know, for instance, when we often go to ask for reassurance from somebody else, is to think, what is it that I most need to hear right now? Because we often seek it from other people. And if we're in a difficult situation, it might be that we're really wanting somebody else to say, you know, I love you, I care for you, you're enough. And the beauty of being your own best mate is that you can actually say that to yourself. And, you know, I mean, you can say to yourself, I am enough, I'm good enough, you know, I'm worthy. And when we do that, we really build up a relationship and trust within ourselves so that we no longer need reassurance from external sources.
I think that's a great place to leave it. Dr. Alicia Franklin, psychologist and friend of The Hookup, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks so much, Nat. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If there's something you want covered on the show, send it in via The Hookup at abc.net.au or via Facebook. Just search for The Hookup on Triple J. Plus, if you're loving what you're hearing, give us a rating wherever you find your favourite podcasts. It'll help other people find the show.